The Reuben Center at UTEP has a new slate of shows this spring. Their lineup includes a series of paintings by emerging and established artists associated with the new contemporary art movement, a four-year curatorial initiative inviting artists, designers, and thinkers to reimagine and engage the extreme urbanism of America's Western Sun Belt, and a retrospective of graphic artists Joe Scorzoni and Alex Druding, who have been designing posters together since 1986. Here to preview these shows for us is Carrie Doyle of the Reuben Center. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks so much, Marina. Great to be here.
So, Carrie, before we even started recording, you were kind of previewing the three shows, and each one is incredible in its own right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually a nice mix of what we do at the Reuben Center. It sort of represents like different strains of how we're working with art and how that's connecting with our students and hopefully with the larger community as well. So,
well, especially this sections show.
The sections show is part of a longer term project. So we've been working with partners at Arizona State University and Southern Methodist University on this kind of regional project called New Cities, Future Ruins. And the project is taking a look at kind of environmentalism in the context of the Southwest, in the context of sprawling cities and suburban landscapes. And the piece that we took, might not surprise you, was the border.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah. So our part of the conversation, which is actually going to end in a book about all of the projects together, but our part of the conversation is about the U.S.-Mexico border. And so we began working with three, in two cases, they're collectives, two collectives and artists, on some very basic elements that we share as sister cities. So that's water, air, and earth. And we invited these artists in to come and do an immersion. They came to the border in January of 2018 and met with environmental activists and academics on both sides of the border. We did lots of walks in the landscape, and they all proposed projects. Most of them are collaborative projects that respond to those ideas.
But let's talk about those.
They're amazing projects.
Yeah. I know. So, I mean, just because, you know, social media and the era that we live in, I've been following, you know, the installation of the shows, which is so much fun to do, by the way.
Yeah.
And then I noticed our local group from agency, Ursula and Steven, are, installing what looks like cameras, but you know what it is. So tell us what it is, because it's incredible.
So Ursula and Steven are, you know, we invited them to be a part of the project. They're here locally now, which we're very lucky, they are traveling all over the world and exhibiting all over the place and, you know, participating in conversations and writing. And but what they did was they thought about the concept of air between the two cities. And in particular, they're interested in dust and particulates and kind of contaminants in the air and the way that those things are not, they're not nationally bound, right? So they're in constant migration between the two cities and really around the world. And what they did was they worked on creating a sensor that would give people the ability to sort of measure air quality in real time. And then those sensors are linked together in a conversation so that you can actually get a map of air quality in the region and the movement of dust and particulates in the region. The sensors are they're made out of hacked technology. They actually did a residency in China where they worked with, you know, some computer engineers and created these very simple, inexpensive hacked sensors. They actually live in these little cardboard boxes. And
so cool.
Yeah. And then they designed some casings for those using 3D printing. They collaborated with UTEP's Keck Lab. And the casings make these sensors be allowed to be like installed, but not be overly visual, like visible in the landscape. So they're very simple, like kind of they sort of fade into the background. Exactly. So they're picking up the air quality in real time. So, you know, a practical application of this is a conceptual project and a prototype project, but a practical application might be if someone lives in a neighborhood, like say the Chamisal neighborhood in El Paso, where we know that there's a much higher concentration of pollution in that neighborhood than there is in other areas, they have a way of measuring the air quality in real time and seeing when the dust is moving their way, when things are, you know, unsafe. And that's different than the kind of data that we get right now, which tends to be aggregated. We often get the data quite after the fact. So, it, you know, it could create some possibilities for citizens to be able to respond in real time to kind of crises of particulates. But it's also creating some very beautiful visual maps, and those will be on display as well. So they've got some printed still 2D maps of the movement of dust through the region. It makes you really realize, again, like what it is that we share between these two cities. Yeah. And they work with the programmer to create a program that actually shows in real time what's happening with those sensors. So one of the things that will be on display was the sort of first week of those sensors, just kind of a test video of those first week of those sensors. And then at the end of the exhibition, the sensors will go back out into the landscape and become part of a larger permanent project. So they're going to link those sensors up with even more sensors on both sides of the border and create larger maps.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know.
And what did that look like on paper when they explained this idea to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the artists that we are working with, I mean, particularly in this show, are such creative and deep thinkers that really takes a lot of conversations. And what we hope in the gallery space is that we can take these projects, which are much, much bigger than what's on display, and kind of give people a window into the ways that artists are thinking creatively about these kinds of problems. So, you know, what we do in the gallery space is kind of provide a bridge between these, like, magnificent and, like, really complex ideas.
Yeah,
and the people that walk into our gallery and who are interested about these things, and so they can kind of see how those artists are working.
Okay, let's move to the earth part, because this is kind of fun, too.
Yeah, so the earth part is something, again, that we've been working with Ronald Rael and Virginia Sanfratello. They're based in Oakland, California. They collaborate in Rael Sanfratello Architects and also in a company called Emerging Objects, and they're really interested in 3D printing. But Ron has also been interested in a long time in historic adobe construction. And what we've been working on with their team, and also with our ceramic students and some geology professors here at UTEP as well, is a collaboration in which they're 3D printing very large-scale adobe structures. So
on the UTEP campus,
on the UTEP
DT
campus,
does.
Yeah.
So they're out there.
Yeah, the very first trial of this we did was actually up in a parking lot that overlooks like the Felipe Ángeles neighborhood in Juarez. And, you know, those structures, it was really a lot of trial and error. So we spent a week of like having things collapse on us and things fail. But we created a series of structures that are up there now. And they've hardened into like adobe, like really hard, like feels like concrete adobe. And then we also created just this last week a gigantic structure, a 3D adobe structure in the gallery, which is part of the show.
The printer, you guys
with
bought the printer
yeah. So yeah, one of the things about this printer, which is a prototype printer that's designed by Ron in collaboration with Delta Bots in Florida, who do 3D printers and other kinds of small engineering projects. So it's a prototype printer, and one of the great things about it is it's extremely portable. So like two people can lift it and move it into, you know, different spaces. So it has a lot of, again, like possibly in the future practical applications, but at the moment it's sort of a playful conceptual application, like how big can we print this adobe? And at the same time, Ron was working with our UTEP students to do a similar thing on a smaller scale. So our UTEP students in ceramics had never before used 3D printing in ceramics. It's relatively new in the field. Some people are using it, but it's not common in an undergraduate school setting.
Yeah, no, you're hand building, you're throwing.
Exactly, yeah. And 3D ceramic printers are still kind of a new sort of technology. But with the students, Ron also wanted to combine new and old. So the students went out under the tutorship of Vincent Burke, who's a ceramics professor, and they began to find sites where there was local clay, like maybe where clay was used historically, or sites that people just knew that there were a lot of clay deposits. Some of them are very picturesque, like Mount Cristo Rey, or like out in, you know, in the fields and things like that. Some of them are just really mundane places, like behind a 7-Eleven on Mesa, where they found
clay
a great clay deposit. Yeah, exactly. So they started experimenting with local clay. So they first had to learn how they fired and how they kind of, you know, had to, you know, sort of sift and clean the clays and things like that. And then they were using those clays in 3D printers of a much smaller size, but they've done an enormous installation in the gallery of 170 of these pots that were all created with 3D technology, but with local clay. So both of those installations are a mix of new and old. And just to like bring in the last project, which is the water project, we're working with a Mexican artist named Ivan Puig, and he's looking at the role of sodas in Mexico. Mexico has one of the highest per capita soda consumptions, and the kind of ways that capitalism and the kind of relationship between the two countries has brought this force of soda into people's lives and
they
into
don't
their
drink
bodies.
Water.
Yeah. And so what he's done is he's done a multi-month project of distilling soda into drinkable water. And he's done it as a kind of a teaching project as well for people in the community. So he brings it out into different areas and talks to people about what's left after you distill it. You should actually see, it's disgusting. It's on display in the Rubens Center, but what's left after you pull everything out of the Coke.
And how much actual water is in a soda?
There's a lot of actual water. I mean, it's mostly actual water, but then you get a little jar full of like stuff that looks like they show you on the cigarette commercials to keep you from smoking. It looks like tarry and junk and sticky and just like horrible. And then you have a bottle of a mostly full bottle of water after you pull all that stuff out. So, you know, in his project, he does a color study of all the sodas that are on display available for purchase in Mexico. So it's this beautiful rainbow of colors. And
of course,
there's some videos of him kind of doing the actual distillation process, as well as, you know, these kind of conversations with people. So all of the artists are really thinking about how the relationship between U.S. and Mexico affects these things, our air, our water, and the earth.
That's so cool. I mean, yeah. I'm speechless, other than really we have to go see it.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. It's a great entry point into kind of thinking about these things, not just the environmental parts of it, but also these kind of like practical applications in the future for some of the things these artists are coming up with.
Yeah, because you can I mean, really fathom the thought of just printing your own Adobe house.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, with the materials that you have on hand here, you know, just going out, digging them up, putting them in your printer and yeah,
hit it.
Print it out. Yeah.
Draw it up, make you a house.
Exactly.
Okay, but you have two other shows.
We do, and they're great too. So it's hard to know what to talk about. But we're collaborating with an LA-based gallery called Think Space, which is a leader in the new contemporary art movement. So that's kind of hyper-realism with sort of lowbrow subject matter. Some of the pieces have some kind of science fiction mixed in. And this was actually, you know, a show that we worked very closely with our painting professor, Tom Berkner, thinking a little bit about what some of our students are interested in painting and how some other young artists are really sort of pushing that.
And doing it.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic show. We have, if I remember, I think there's 11 artists represented in the show. And then we have a visiting artist, Michael Reeder, which is interesting because we've been getting a lot of kind of shout outs to Michael from local artists who know who he is. He works in very large scale in urban spaces, and he's creating a really fantastic piece in our atrium, a two-story installation that he spent a week here painting and doing on site.
Those are my favorite, when people take over the atrium, because you walk in the gallery and it's like,
Some people really do it right. So Michael knew how to use that space and just kind of, you know, the piece just really fits. You can see it from out in the parking lot. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
It's excellent to work with. So we're really excited about that, to have a painting show that we think is like representative of what our students are doing and interested in, but like really pushing the limits of kind of what painting can do. And so it's a fantastic show. And then downstairs, again, it's another collaboration with our design professors. They brought in a pair of artists, Joe Scorsoni and Alice Druding, who are well-known graphic designers, but they've also been collaborating together since the mid-1980s on a series of posters about political and social issues. And we have a mini retrospective of those posters. Joe and Alice are actually coming in at the end of the exhibition, and they're going to be the jurors for this year's annual juried graphic design show for students.
What a great opportunity for our students.
Yeah, so they'll have a chance to talk to them about the difference between doing commercial work and political work and why those posters have been successful. And I mean, it's a great time for our graphic design students to think about how to use their visual art skills to make a difference in politics and to kind of think about, you know, how to get messages across and kind of, and how to be a part of that conversation through visual art. So there are three great shows that really reflect different things that we're doing here on campus and, you know, with international and national artists. And yeah, we hope you come out and see them.
So, yes. Thank you so much. I mean, this next season of shows is so exciting at the Rubin Center. Thank you so much for breaking them down for us.
Yeah.
Whoever hears this segment, I know is going to go see them because it's pretty incredible sounding. So thank you so much, Carrie, for bringing some fun and just groundbreaking art to our community. Can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Today, my guest has been Carrie Doyle from the Rubin Center. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.